Praise the Lord, my dear friend, and let me once again welcome you to your most favorite program, The Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost headquarters. And I believe you are keenly following the teachings on Pentecost Hour. And today we are privileged to have Pastor Daniel Saki. Pastor Daniel Saki is the district pastor for the Bethlehem district in the Sherman area of the Church of Pentecost. Stay tuned in.
We are speaking on the topic, rekindling the fire of your first love. Rekindling the fire of your first love. Your first love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reading from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through to 7. The book of Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through to 7. I take it from the Holman Christian Study Bible. Revelation 2, 1 through to 7. Write to the angel of the church in Ephesus, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. You have tested those who call themselves apostles, and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet, you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in God's paradise. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through to 7. Hallelujah. And this time again, we're speaking on rekindling the fire of your first love. First love in the Lord. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the love that was bubbling in your heart, the love that compelled you to do things that pleased the Lord. And the church in Ephesus had this first love. But as the angel was instructing John to write, they had abandoned their first love. Now let's look at the things that Christ commended the church for. He commended them for, number one, their deeds, their hard work, and their perseverance. You know, they were Christians. They were doing things. They were moving on in spite of challenges. They were doing things that the Lord really was pleased with. So therefore, we could deduce that they were a church that was out for good things. Good works. And it is good to do good
as a Christian. It is good to persevere in times of persecution and opposition. Again, number two, they did not tolerate wicked men. This was a church that Christ commended because they will not harbor wickedness and they will not tolerate those who want to do evil things, either in their church or around them. For these, they were commended. Christ commended them. And that is what we have to do in these days when some are tolerating evil. We should not. If we want to rekindle the fire of our first love, we must not tolerate evil. You must not tolerate evil. Neither should you tolerate people who practice evil. The church was commended for number three, that they have tested and found out those who call themselves apostles, but they were not. They were false apostles. Just as there were false apostles in those days, so there are false men and women of God in these days. Some false prophets and some false apostles. And Bible says that the church was commended because they tested these people. They tried them and they found out that they were not what they claimed to be. Now the church was also given approval by Christ. Apart from the commendations by Christ, Christ also gave them approval for certain things that they were doing. Number one was that they persevered and endured hardship. This was a church that was founded in the principles of God's word. They knew that following Christ will not be easy all the time. Therefore, they were prepared to face hardship and to go through opposition and persecution. Church of God, child of God, that is what we must know as we want to walk in our first love. Loving God will not exonerate us, will not make us immune to hardships and perseverance and opposition. No, we rather have to persevere. When our first love is on fire for God, troubles will come, persecutions will come, oppositions will come, challenges will come our way. But we need to persevere because we love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, we will not give up. Hallelujah. This was our approval of Christ for the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Again, they were approval for the following, that they hated the practices of certain people called the Nicolaitans. The Nicolaitans were set in the church that gave approval. They said it was lawful to eat food sacrificed to idols. And then it was also lawful to commit sexual immorality. In fact, the Nicolaitans had their roots from Numbers chapter 25. We will soon read that portion of scripture. But these people were still in the church of Ephesus when John was writing the book of Revelation. The church that was there in Ephesus could not tolerate the practice of these Nicolaitans. They hated the practice. And God also said he also hated. Christ said he hated the practices. There are certain things going on in our days, even in some churches, which we must not tolerate. We must run away from. We must hate, just as Christ also hates those things. And the Nicolaitans, as we said, are their roots from Numbers chapter 25. Let's read a few verses from Numbers 25 and look at what these people were doing that the church hated. Therefore, God gave them his approval. In Numbers chapter 25 from verse 1, the scripture reads, "While Israel was staying in the Acacia Grove, the people began to have sexual relations with the women of Moab. The women invited them to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed in worship to their gods. So Israel aligned itself with Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, 'Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that his burning anger may turn away from Israel.' And so Moses told the Israel's judges, 'Kill each of the men who align themselves with Baal.'" You see, this is what was happening. And this is what was still going on in the church of Ephesus when John wrote the book of revelation. And the church was approved of by Christ because they hated the practice of these Nicolaitans. God wants us to identify things that he hates and not also tolerate those things, but move away from them and never encourage their practices wherever we find ourselves, in our families, in our churches, in our workplace, in society. Therefore, the teaching of the Nicolaitans perverted the grace of God and replaced grace with the liberty or the license to sin. Their teaching perverted grace, that you are free to eat food sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. And because of that, in Numbers 25, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and a lot of them were killed by the same God who had saved them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul also gave a warning from Israel's past. Paul was warning the church in Corinth about the same things that happened to Israel in the past that could also happen to them if they do not turn away from those things. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to take some few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 reads, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things became examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to play. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in a single day, 23,000 people fell dead. Let us not test some Christ as some of them did, and were destroyed by snakes. Nor should we complain as some of them did, and were killed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written as a warning to us, on whom the ends of the ages have come." Hallelujah. Brother, so these are the things that Israel did, and which was still prevailing, things that were still being practiced in the days of the church of Ephesus in the book of Revelation. You could underline the things that God is warning us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Apart from sexual immorality, Bible says that these things have been written down for our example to serve as a warning for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. They worship idols, number one. Number two, they committed sexual immorality, and God was so annoyed and angry with them that 23,000 of them died in a single day. Number three, they tested Christ. He was the rock that followed them. They tested him, and some of them were destroyed by snakes. Number four, they were complaining. They were not satisfied with the things that God was doing, the miracles he performed for them, even in Egypt and in the wilderness. Therefore, they were killed by the destroyer. Our warning is that these things happened to them as examples, and they were written as a warning to us in these days when we are awaiting the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 were given approval. Apart from their commendation, they were also approved of, or were given approval by Christ for hating the practices of the Nicolaitans. Hallelujah. My brother, my sister, as we study the book of Revelation chapter 2 in order to rekindle the fire of our first love, let us also see that and note that the church in Ephesus were also accused by Christ. Christ commended them, Christ approved them, and Christ accused them. In verse 4 of Revelation chapter 2, the word of God says that, "Yet I hold this against you. You are forsaking your first love. You are forsaking your first love." So Christ accused them. And what is first love? What is your first love? And why is God asking you to rekindle the fire of your first love? Let's look at our first love in these following ways. about six of them. One, your first love could be that intimate personal devotion you had to God. It is what I call the honeymoon love. That fervent, personal, unreserved commitment to God. When you came to the Lord at first, when you first believed in the Lord, that first love that you openly displayed wherever you went, you carried your Bible, you fasted and prayed, you attend church regularly, even in the rain, you were on fire for God, unreserved, commitment, devoted. You gave before you were even asked to give. And even when you were asked to give, you gave beyond your ability. You were, number two, constant in prayer and the study of the word of God. That is your first love. Nobody told you to attend prayer meetings. You were there all night, retreats. You could even travel from home and hike somewhere to seek the face of the Lord. You studied the word of God. You believed everything you read in the Bible. You read from Genesis to Revelation. You took your time to have your devotion. You have a devotional guide where you could seek the face of God. That was your first love. Number three, your first love was the desire you had for the fullness of the Spirit of God. You want to know the Holy Spirit. You want to know Him as a person. You want to know His ministry. You were there, and the Holy Spirit was your friend, was your teacher, was your leader, was the one who encouraged you, your comforter. You desire for more and more of Him. You want to know Him. You were growing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and you were maturing in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You were there for His ministry, for His personality. You wanted to know Him more. You wanted others to also to know Him. You were baptized in the Holy Ghost. You spoke in tongues. You had the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. Your first love. Your first love. Your first love, number four, could be that sincere love you have for other believers, the people of God, other Christians, without discrimination, without hypocrisy. You love every child of God, even if the person did not belong to your church. You see, when your first love was on fire, you could entertain and tolerate other people from other denominations. That is the first love we're talking about. You love the Father and you love His children. Number five, your first love that God is calling you this day to rekindle could be your passion for souls. When you came to the Lord at first, you had that strong, fervent passion to win souls. Wherever you go, you wanted to witness, you wanted to preach to everybody who came your way. You believed so strongly that Jesus was coming soon that you didn't want anybody to end up in hell. You had your Bible, your testament with you wherever you went, at your workplace, at church, even among believers. You look out for those who had not yet experienced Christ, and you wanted to witness to them. You wanted to share the love of Christ with everyone. You did not condemn anyone. You went out selflessly to tell others that Jesus loved them. The passion for souls. Number six was your readiness for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. You believed that Jesus was coming soon. Therefore, you lived a life ready for His soon coming. You believed so strongly that Jesus could come any day. Therefore, you were prepared for His coming. That was your first love. You didn't want to do anything that Christ would come and find you wanting. So you live a life worthy of your calling, your first love. Today, God is calling you back to your first love. Your intimate relationship, personal relationship, and devotion to God. In spite of whatever goes on in your life, whether things are good or bad, you were committed to God. God still wants you to be committed to Him. God still desires that you maintain that close relationship with Him. He wants to talk to you as you also talk to Him. He wants you to listen to Him and to obey Him and to live a life that is pleasing to Him. He wants you to be constant in prayer. You will never give up seeking His face. He wants you to do that. Child of God, if you have given up seeking the face of God, I encourage you, rekindle that fire of your first love. That fire where you could go to God. And when you go to God, You speak to him, he also speaks to you. You could hear his voice clearly. That first love. He's calling you to study his word. You used to study the Bible. You want to read from page to page, from Genesis to Revelation. Do that again. In spite of what you have to do in a day, in spite of your busy schedule, God is calling you back to the Bible, back to his word. God wants to hear from you, and he wants also to hear from me, to know his will, to know his way, to know his word. He's calling you to constancy in prayer and Bible study. He also wants you to desire more and more of the fullness of his spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. He wanted to desire the spiritual gifts. He wanted to mature in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He wanted to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's calling you again to sincere love for other Christians. In spite of where they worship, what church they go, what denomination they belong to, God wanted to have sincere love for other people, especially Christians. And not to neglect the unbelievers, your next door neighbor, your co-tenant, your co-worker, your colleague at school may not know Christ. What are you doing? He wants you to have that love for others, sincere love for Christians and for other people. Love those who are weak. Help those who are vulnerable. Be the voice for those who cannot speak on their own and for themselves. Be there to offer a helping hand to somebody in need. Be there to show a little kindness to somebody you meet on the way today. God is calling you back to passion for souls, to win souls for his kingdom, and to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ had approved the church, and when Christ has accused the church, he went on also to admonish them. He said, fan your first love into flame. And so doing, he outlined the following three areas to them. Number one, he said, remember your first love. Rather, remember what you have lost, and then cultivate a desire to renew that sweet communion with God. Number two, he said, repent. Change your attitude. Renew your mind. Go back to God. Rekindle your first love. Number three, he said, return. Return. Go back to your first love. Go back to your commitment to God, to prayer, to soul winning, to love for one another, to spiritual gifts. And above all, get ready, for Christ is coming soon. Rekindle the fire of your love. Brother, the church in Ephesus, as outlined in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, the church says, as an example for you and I, to rekindle our first love. Rekindle that fire of your love for Christ. Rekindle the fire of your love for other people who belong to God. Rekindle your fire, the fire of your love for the word of God. Take your Bible, blow away the dust, open, turn the pages. Let God speak to you, and then speak to God in prayer. Desire more of the Holy Spirit, more of his gifts, more of his fruits, more of his ministry, more of his personality. Desire that, and have sincere love for other people, even those who don't belong to your church. Then go out, tell others about the love of Christ. Christ died on the cross for all human beings, for all people. And he said that his desire is that all will come to be saved and that none should perish. Tell your neighbor, tell your co-tenant, tell your co-worker, tell your classmate, tell others about the love of Christ. Tell them that Jesus loves them, that he died for them. He died on the cross for them. If they were all the only sinner, Jesus would still die for them. And church, believer, dear Christian, dear precious one in the Lord, be ready, for Christ is coming soon. It's coming, yes. Everything points to the fact that he's coming soon. Look around you. He's coming soon. Get ready. Repent. Remember. Return. Your God is calling you to your first love. And he says in verse 7 of Revelation chapter 2, as we bring this message to a conclusion, he says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. So, if you and I will overcome, if you and I will return back to our first love and refuse to conform to the word, and we are victorious in the face of trials, and we still maintain our first love, there is a reward. Hallelujah. You will eat from the tree of life and enjoy eternal fellowship with God. May the Lord bless you as you go back to the Lord. Tell the Lord Jesus that you love him, that you belong to him, that you have resigned from all the sins of this world, that he is your gracious redeemer, your precious savior, that if you want to love him again, you want to love him again, even now you want to love him, because he first loved you and purchased you, forgave you on Calvary's cross. Return to your first love. God bless you.
So wherever you listen to Pentecost Hour and you have been touched by this message and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, kindly repeat these words after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and personal Savior. I'll live for you all the days of my life. So help me, God. God richly bless you, my dear friend, and you can call 024-767-9833, 024-767-9833, and we will give you the much needed attention. Once again, this has been Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost Headquarters, and we have been listening to Pastor Daniel Saki, the District Pastor of the Bethlehem District of the Church of Pentecost. I am Daniel Ni Tete Taki. Shalom, peace, grace. Bye bye.
Burning in my soul.